Hi, Paul. When you take a look at the first three games of the series, obviously special teams have been both or big for both teams. What have you learned through that time, and how have you approached that with your club for game four here coming up tomorrow?
Well, we had a pretty seismic shift in our power play, scored a game winner for us. so, I mean, that's a constantly a bit of a work in progress, new people. And then clearly the penalty kill is far more of a concern for us right now. It was very good in game two and not in one and three. Even though they weren't related, one and three weren't related. The reasons that we struggled last night on the PK looked quite a bit like our 5-on-5 game. We were off, you know, we're a half step behind where we needed to be in that game last night, 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill. And you can't be when you're killing a penalty, you are either on it or you've got to be off it. And both face-off plays, we're just behind the play when it happens, when it develops. So there's a play, but we have some confidence in our PK. It's a little shook right now, but we've had one real solid outing, and we'd like to get back to that.
Can you give us any update at all on your injured guys?
No, we didn't skate the bulk of our group today, the guys who had played in back-to-back, so I'll get them on the ice tomorrow morning and have a better idea.
We're both Ken Weep from Sportsnet.ca.
Thanks for taking the time, Paul. I know you've been involved in a lot of elimination games. Can you just describe the mentality that is required to survive them?
Yeah, you can't go into the game with a fear of being eliminated. That you can't carry that. It's still the game of hockey, and the puck drops and all the important things that help you win or the things that cost you games, or it will still be true. So what you'd like to do in any game seven or in any elimination game is to play without that fear and not carry it in. So being able to mentally free yourself up, give yourself a chance to be as good a team as you can be, and almost play with looseness isn't the right word, because it makes you think of casualness. It plays without fear, and that can drive you. I mean, that sometimes the teams whose back against the wall has that extra bit of motivation, that extra bit of jump in their step. But we needed the day off today, and we'll be a much quicker team tomorrow.
I know you say you're not often a speech guy, but given all that your team has gone through and the extraordinary circumstances, can you give us a glimpse of what your message might be before the group plays tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm specifically a speech guy, as a matter of fact, Ken. I give about four a day. So, and the answer would be no, and that's not that I'm hiding anything from you. I mean, we had a conversation as a team today. We had a meeting. We'll have one tomorrow. But so much of it is, to get it right, I think you have to have the feel of your room. And you don't get that 24 hours before. It's being around them tomorrow, getting a sense of what they need. The hockey part doesn't change much, but the motivation part is certainly a feel thing.
All right. We'll go with Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, Paul. The players who were on before you were asked why they think this team has been able to be so resilient, and Cody Eakin gave an interesting answer. He said, there's a little piece of Winnipeg in everyone. What do you think he means by that?
Well, it's there's a, I don't know, maybe there's a sense of community in Winnipeg that I hadn't felt in any other place, and you kind of carry that with you. The thing that as a family we enjoy most about Winnipeg is the people, right? It's kind of a you know, there's a little bit of handling adversity in Winnipeg, but man, it gets cold in the winter, right? So you get used to some tough days, and everybody in the city's going through it, so you all kind of in it together. So there's a certain sense of community that we found in Winnipeg that we haven't felt everywhere else. So you get together as a group, this group will have its back against the wall. There's that sense of community in the room. There's that togetherness that you need. You need each other in this game. You need each other. We need to play as a five-man block and as a five-man group going up and down the ice. And having that sense of community, that sense of togetherness is critical.
And just one more question. You talked about looking to see get players on the ice tomorrow before you see what's going on. Is there any chance of Scheifele, Lyon, and Appleton playing tomorrow?
I can't answer that question yet. In truth, I don't know.
All righty, we'll go with Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for doing this. I'm looking at some of the statistics from games that have been played, teams that have played so far this week, and seeing a lot of teams, they've rolled out the exact same 12 forwards, 6D for their first two or three games. You guys potentially are going to be dipping in as much as your 16th forward already, depending, I guess, on Matthew Perreault's status. I mean, when you had these expanded rosters that you were allowed to bring into the bubble, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think you'd be going sort of 16 deep on your forwards within the first week?
No, not in the first week. I think there was a thought that if you were in a physical series that you could have to use the whole roster. And we've worked those extra guys hard, and while they weren't necessarily on the ice with the main group, they've been on the ice. They had a good skate today, so. They're ready to go, and they're hoping there's an advantage that if we have to put another forward in, there'll be fresh legs on that forward, and he'll be able to help us with that. So we've been lucky. The guys that have come in and done a good job, Jansen scored a big goal for us. The other guys have taken important minutes for us, so they've been good for us. We were hoping not to have to use them so early, or, you know, you'd like to have your roster, but the game of hockey doesn't allow it.
And then I'm not asking you to tip your hand as to who would get the nod if you had to, but can you just maybe make the case for both David Gustafson and Mark Letestu, two very different players in different situations there?
The question, they're different, but they're similar. They're both, excuse me, they're both incredibly responsible players. Mark has the experience to be a responsible player, but Gus is certainly learning the game, but that's what he will do. That will be his job. He's going to be a really responsible National Hockey Leaguer. Some of the decision is actually going to be which player do I think is most flexible in terms of using him, not just at center, but on the wing. So I haven't made a decision because I need other information before. First, if I have to put a guy in, how the other lines will structure out. So we've clearly moved our lines around more than we like to. But the flexibility of that player comes in may be important. That may be the tipping point for them.
With Sarah Orlowski from TSN. Go ahead, Sarah.
Paul, you said you don't know whether or not any of your injured players will be available tomorrow, but do you plan to have, or is your thought right now that the four of them will be able to at least take the morning skate and see how they feel?
Oh, I'm not saying that, Sarah. I don't know the answer yet, whether it makes sense for them or not. This is all medical now. It's driven by them, whether... If we get a guy on the ice, obviously he's a lot closer to plan. But we won't. I won't have that knowledge of the situation until tomorrow.
Are you able to tell us if Mark Scheifele or Patrick Laine has been on the ice at all since their injury?
None of those players have skated.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Kristen Anderson from Post Media.
Hey, Paul. I just was wondering, what kinds of signs are you looking for maybe from your leadership group tomorrow to suggest that, you know, not that they're ready, but that they're ready for the challenge at hand, like just the, you know, the main leaders in your room, the strongest voices?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about that is that's, I won't look there. I won't watch them to find out how the room is because I know how they're going to act. I mean, I've seen the veteran players here, and certainly our captain is one of the finest I've ever had. I know how he's going to be moving around the room tomorrow, so I'm going to make sure I'm moving in the other corners, making sure you get to the guys that maybe haven't been here long enough to have a big voice, making sure they feel that they do. And for some of them, their voice is their legs. You know, get out there and go as hard as you can, man. Show it to your teammates early. So I'm not at all wondering how the veterans will move around this room. You really have to have appreciated the year we've had, the number of times that I saw Blake Wheeler rally the group just over and over, you know, another injury, another guy went down. And our leadership has always done just a fantastic job with that. So we're in the process of dealing with some of the injuries that we have. But what those guys will do is going to be very, very consistent.
We'll go with Murad Atash from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murad.
Well, yesterday you said that there would be some specific special teams and PK things to work on, but given the need for rest, I mean, it would be tough to do that on the ice. What goes into addressing those sorts of issues without the time to run through the drills?
Yeah, video. These guys are good at that, right? They can process. I mean, there would be, I don't know, maybe 10 days a year that we wouldn't have some sort of video for a team. They're learning the game all the time. When you get into back-to-back or you're into playoffs, you're not on the ice that much. I mean, you're never practicing really in playoffs, and even in between games, it's a very short thing that you do. So they're used to watching that, right? So you have small group meetings, you have individual meetings with players. You certainly take an interest in what they're seeing. The ice level is so much different than bench level. So you do your due diligence with the players. You put together your – it is not – you don't put together a plan. You just identify the areas that we got to get a little better at. And then it's almost always a chain reaction in all systems of the game. If one piece gets better, you start looking quicker and your decision-making gets better in all areas. And the same is true when you have a struggle in a certain area. It again, it affects everything else that you do.